This is
Animal Radio.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Santa Ana, California.
How can we help you today?
I'm going to be getting a Pekingese puppy, and I was just wondering, what type of food would you feed it? Because I haven't raised one of those type of dogs before.
Okay. What's your experience been in dogs?
I've had poodles, and I've had an Afghan, and I've had a Samoyed dog years ago.
All right. Well, the good thing and the good news is they're very similar with some minor changes for small dogs. Some of the special concerns we might have for small dogs are going to be on the size of the kibble and are going to be concerns with hypoglycemia. And size of the kibble basically being that a lot of times for the smaller breeds of dogs, we will go to the small bite variety of foods. Just a little easier for their little mouths to deal with and not as large to worry about so much of a choking hazard. The other thing is, I mentioned hypoglycemia, and this is more for small breeds or even so much the toy breeds, the really mini breeds. When they're young, we get concerned that if they are not eating on a regular timeline, they can actually have a very serious drop in their blood sugar. And it's not always caused by something that you're doing wrong. It just can happen in some of these dogs. So for small breeds of dogs, and I'd include a Pekingese mix into that, would be to make sure that we are feeding at least three times a day. And any change in appetite, anything digestively, we take that very seriously in these little ones because we just can't let them run that risk of getting hypoglycemic. And then do you know how old the pup is?
It was just born like about a month ago.
Okay, fabulous. So we're going to have a youngin' then. And a lot of times as you're starting off with the new puppy, you know, if they're 6 weeks, 7, 8 weeks of age, a lot of times I'll even moisten their food or give canned food. Not a huge canned food fan as a long-term thing, but sometimes for pups, just as we're transitioning them and getting them comfortable into a dog food, we'll do that. My preference is to take a kibble and moisten it with warm water because then I feel like you're not really even going into that canned food, and hopefully you won't have that fussy, picky dog that says, I'm not going to take dry food now. I only want that smelly canned food stuff, which costs more, Mom. So I just try to avoid it if I can. As far as brands for food, my recommendations are to find what your dog likes. Stick with major brands and those that have good, solid nutritional histories. So depends on what did you feed your previous pets?
It's been so long ago that I had those. It was like when I was real young, and I don't remember. All I remember feeding the Gainsburg, the little Gainsburger.
Oh, that's what we fed my dog when I was a kid, and I've learned better since then. The semi-moist foods, if we can stick to more of a dry food, you'll have more consistent dietary health. So I generally, there's a lot of brands that I'm fans of. I have folks that feed Science Diet, IAMS, the Nutro. Some folks have some great results with just Purina. So just, I would say, look for the small bite varieties. And then keep that in mind as far as the frequency of feedings that you'd want to go to. But yeah, I'm not really big into like, you know, having a single preference on foods. I very much like to adapt it to the individual pet and to their health conditions if there's anything going on there.
And then how many months should they be before you get a female spayed?
Okay, yeah. Most cases we will spay at 6 months of age. In some areas of the country, they may have, like in Las Vegas here, we have an early spay-neuter law. So between 4 to 6 months is typically where they'll require that to be done. As a puppy, though, you're going to have some other things before then to address. We start vaccinations at 6 weeks in puppies. Start vaccinating, deworming, and checking those poop samples for parasites for their protection as well as yours. And then we'll usually do that until they're about 4 months of age. So you'll have generally monthly visits there through the puppyhood time. It's a lot of good stuff to cover and go over. And
I know. Yeah.
And all then the puppy training and the potty training. Oh my goodness. So we could just talk for hours here, couldn't we?
I know.
Stephanie, I have some food samples for you to try. We'll send out your way if you hold on for a second and we'll get your information. Thanks for your call.
Hey, Joey, I have a question for you. Every year about this, you know,
time of year, we get, you know, my dogs tend to come up with this. We call them, I don't know what they are, staffies. Like it's some kind of a staph infection. It's a crusty, kind of moist thing, like a scab on their skin, and their hair comes out.
Yep. Yeah, I know. It's almost like a hot spot. In most cases, doctors will diagnose it as a hot spot. And a lot of times that happens during the change of the seasons. It could happen. It can happen at any time, but usually you'll see when it goes summer into fall or spring into summer when it's still a little bit warm out. Okay, I'll tell you what you want to do is if it's not real serious and you catch it right away before it has to go to a veterinarian, what we would do is we would clean the area with basic soap and water, comb away all the dead coat, or if there's any knots and tangles, get it out of the way. Now, I'll tell you what, and a lot of veterinarians are going to say, and you're going to cringe when I say this, but I learned this from a veterinarian himself. I learned this from a veterinarian that was out in the woods of, oh God, West Milford, New Jersey. And this dog had exactly what you're explaining. And no one can cure it. And this is where I found out what bag balm was. And he says, just get some bag balm, put it on that, and it'll cure it. And bag balm is what they put on cows' udders for when they get chapped. And you know what? The guy did that, who was a friend of mine, and cured the dog. And that was after $4,000 of treatments over the years.
I just knew that it had to be clean, so I've been using chlorhexidine to clean it.
That works great. And, you know, witch hazel, I mean, if you're not going to use soap and water, yeah, chlorhexidine works great. And, you know, witch hazel works good, too. It's not real strong where it's going to irritate, but it will do enough to, clean up the area. But if it's very pussy and all, you know, go to your veterinarian. Have it treated by a professional.
No, not at all, but it does have a kind of a slight stink to it.
Smell, yes. Yep.
I just ordered some bag balm from Amazon, by the way. Thank you.
There you go.